This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central.
We're what a nice young man.
And really, he's doing such great stuff.
What a great young man.
I agree. So remember, if you have missed the first half hour here, you can go to CliffCentral.com and you will find the podcast there. Alternatively, just go on to any social media, use the hashtag Future CEOs and it'll be there at some point, sooner rather than later. And you'll also be able to find all of our other, 250
almost topping 300.
Are we there?
Oh, yeah.
Of shows with CEOs, top industry experts, and it's no different for this half hour. Louis, shall we introduce who our guests are? Shall we get them to introduce ourselves in the usual Future CEOs tradition?
Let me just pose a question. Okay, so when a CEO... Oh, me. I thought you were talking about my lipstick.
No. You look lovely.
So when a CEO has a transition out of his leadership role, changes have to be communicated. So the question we're posing is that how do we transfer the leadership to the following CEO? And in studio with us, we have Jason and Catherine. I think let's start with the woman who's looking so beautiful in yellow. Catherine, tell us who you are and why you think you're part of this conversation.
Okay, well, I'm Catherine Bothmer, and I'm the new Managing Director at HDI Youth Marketeers.
Yep, congratulations.
Thank you.
Jason's looking at her like, giving a nod, yes?
He said I can call him a consultant.
Interesting.
So, yeah, why we're part of the conversation is... because it is, it's a new challenge, like you're saying. There's a new direction for our company, and I've been there for 19 years, going on to 20 years.
Okay.
It's almost like, yeah, got that certificate, been there, done that. Mm. What's the next challenge? Let's do this, guys, but let's have fun while we're doing it. Yeah, and it's not easy. I think we've got 60 people in our office, and everyone's looking at you going, okay, are you going to take us to the next level? Mm. And the answer is...
Hell yeah!
So this is what happens when I had a session with you early on. I was like, I get you.
Jason.
Gareth,
speak to Jason.
Yeah, Jason, so you are now the outgoing MD. Are you out already? Are you still around? Are you doing the consulting thing? But before maybe even we answer that question, just give us a little bit of background about yourself and then the situation as it currently stands, please.
Cool, sure. I have worked in the marketing industry in South Africa for quite a long time. So at HDI in the current position for 8.5 years, which Kath was just mentioning. But before that in other marketing roles. I didn't enter my career in marketing. I entered it in financial services. I spent 4 years there before I realized I wasn't going to spend another 40 years
there. good realization to make.
I moved into marketing, which has really been great.
You love it.
Yeah, no, it's been an amazing industry to work in. So, yeah, at the moment, Kat's right. I'm exactly that, the outgoing MD. So my current title has been handed, or my title has been handed over to Kat as the new MD. And I'm on a two-month handover/consultancy where we're doing quite intensive sessions around skills transfer, knowledge transfer.
Correct.
I mean, the great thing is Kat is from the business. So
exactly,
the actual understanding of the day-to-day workings of the business, there's almost no transfer required there. But the kind of stuff that you do behind the MD's desk is sometimes obvious and sometimes less obvious.
Yep. Mm.
So
tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I think you know the role that she's going to play and what she's played. What do you think the unspoken stuff that you did as MD is going to be transferred from you to her? What are the kind of things that you want to... prepare her for.
Yeah, there's probably two things. The one is, the first and foremost one is hard conversations and hard decisions.
Do you like that stuff?
Yeah.
And by the way, not everyone can see what's going on in front of us, but Catherine's actually writing this stuff down, I think. Some notes while we're on air.
Like, I've just got to say that.
No, but it's important to be able to hear what the outgoing MD is saying and say, okay, actually, let me write that one down.
No. Hard
conversations.
Yeah, hard conversations. If you're working in a company that's, I mean, by agency standards, 60 people in South Africa and then two other offices and people in field is a medium-sized agency. But by most company standards, I mean, that's a tiny little company. So lots of the stuff you do as MD in a company that size is quite transparent in terms of decision-making. But you, as an MD, you make 10, 20, 30, 40 decisions a day, and many of those aren't known to the rest of the staff because they're about financial matters or their business decisions or their future-focused decisions. So it's sharing that lots of it is about the decisions I've made in the last year or two especially and the mechanics behind that and why I made them. And, of course, they may be right or they may be wrong. But for Kath and the team taking over, it's just lots of it's about sharing the decision-making process, the hard conversations and how those have gone and how they hopefully they can go a little bit better for the guys who have to take over. And then there's the real admin drudgery, which people think is like stuff that doesn't cross the MD or CEO's desk, which crosses it all the time, like sign-offs and management accounts and
people,
report packs. And
also then people just not wanting to take responsibility, so you must, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's lots of upward delegation.
What I like about that's coming out almost immediately here is that there is definitely a difference between someone who is in a very functional, technical area, and we spoke about this at the LeaderX discussion that we had. For those of you who missed that, Sandton Convention Center, but you'll be able to download the podcast soon. So we spoke about this idea that when you first enter a business, you're very technical. When you move into a more senior role, that changes, the balance changes. And in many cases, often, certainly in some organizations, it's a 90-10. So 90% people, 10% technical. Is that what you're finding? Is that what you've found? And then also, is that what you're finding, Catherine?
I think the biggest challenge that I've had is with being in the company for so long and having so many different roles, and for the last 3 years, I've headed up new business, sales director, headed up a division. And now to sit in the office and go, ooh, someone else has to do that now. But you still want to do it. You still want to help. You still want to make sure everything runs smoothly. But then on the other side of the scale is the business side. And there they also need your attention. It also needs your help. So if you are going to do the transition or change, you have to fill the gaps. And you have to make sure that what you were doing still runs smoothly and you can still achieve all your targets and goals set there. Because you can't have the company break down because you've moved in a new position.
Correct.
And you hope to hell that you've got all the experience to be able to answer those 50 questions that Jason talks about. And he's not lying. They like line up at the door and they're waiting for you to answer, you know, help me with this, get me there. And I love that. I love assisting. I love helping. The technical side is where you actually have these onboarding sessions with Jason and you go, okay, I didn't know that actually existed. Okay. Just give me the cheat sheet to how to do this. I'm definitely not going to be running a course. Mm. But if there's a need to actually do a course in a specific area, then we'll have to do that. Because at the end of the day, it's not about me as a person. It's about where do we want to take the company.
Correct.
What do we want to achieve? Because it's bigger than what I am. And what's very different to what a typical transition or change is, when Jason stepped down and I moved up, two other lovely, incredible ladies moved up with me and were given directorship roles. So we kind of called the Shem, I was going to say it's a trio and not the triad, just a trio. So we're a trio and they come with it's almost like taking Jason and splitting him three ways and going, listen, yeah, he was brilliant at the commercial side. He was brilliant at the client service side. He was brilliant at the sales and marketing and creative side. I'm going to choke when I say creative. Definitely not my expertise.
Okay.
And then to admit that that's not a strength and to say, listen, there's someone else in the company that's going to take on that role. Good for them. He has a huge opportunity for a promotion, if anyone's listening. So the idea is that this threesome has really worked well in the sense that there are people that you can bounce ideas off that are strong in specific areas. So I love it.
Jason, so these girls will fit the glove? Do you have faith? Do you have belief?
They will, yeah. I mean, I think we've been discussing it for a fairly long time, the succession plan in the business. I mean, now that where you say there's a two-month handover period, I think that's false to believe that you can hand over even a business of this size in 2 months. It doesn't happen unless you're handing it over to somebody else who's very seasoned at running maybe similar type of businesses. So it's been a decision that's been coming for almost a year. And so we have started priming people and getting them getting them used to it. And we did a process of assessing external candidates versus promoting internal ones. And eventually there was a pretty much hands down no decision to, particularly as Kath has said it, with the trio, not the triad, taking on various aspects of the role. Just the internal option was a much better one.
What characteristics do they collectively as this trio bring into a role that they're now going to be fulfilling together that we can take into ourselves and potentially consider learning or discovering within ourselves?
Well, I mean, Kath is a great people's person, so she's not definitely won't lose her people's role. As she said, she was in a business development role in the company. But Kuma Panchwa, who's taken on the role of stakeholder and client service director, is amazing people's person, very good relationship manager, and that's going to be her expertise. Tamsin, who's the commercial director, is great with commercials, financials, and operations, and that'll be her area of expertise. And then Kath, of course, will steer the ship, oversee the whole thing, be the bearer of the vision, the grower of the vision, and the one who's ultimately responsible for the success.
The bus stops at you, Kathy. Yeah. What legacy would, with all those great characteristics in their favor, what legacy would you like HDI to hold on to for future success?
Yeah, you know, in the handover sessions, we spent quite a lot of time, because HDI in November will be a 20-year-old business. I didn't found the business. I've only been running it for the last 8 years, as I said. And it's had we've had ups and downs, but we've had literally one of those businesses that has had very few tragedies or crises or near bankruptcies or had to retrench 25 people or lost major clients or lost face. So, and those things are great realization moments, because lots of businesses regroup after a crisis and make themselves great. So we're trying to get to the bottom of why it's been such a good wicket. What is the winning formula? And I think there's a couple of things around it. We're completely client-centric. We're absolutely obsessed with our target market, which is very, very clearly defined.
We know that. Yeah, we know that. We love that.
It's very clearly defined. It's young South Africans, and out of our East and West African operations, young Africans. And something that's a little bit probably hidden, I guess, as a business is, particularly if you're in youth marketing, it feels like quite soft and fluffy. But HDI has always had a very strong desire for and plan for success. So we've always had a 3-year plan for growth, a 3-year plan for where the next chunk of success will come from. And all of that stuff, all of that thinking is now, not even through the handover process, just from the way we've run the business, because they've all been in the leadership team, Kat, Kuma, and Tamsin.
Okay.
They're kind of very on board with that thing. So the legacy of loving your clients, loving your market, and loving success are what I'd like to leave.
That's a nice recipe. Jason, I want to ask you, when you first stepped into the role as the MD, what was the biggest mistake you made?
Nice.
And then, Catherine, we're going to invite you back, and we'll ask her maybe in a few months, and we'll see if there's a mistake that you've made. Not yet, of course, not yet. Your biggest mistake, what should Catherine be avoiding or potentially learning from you right now, mistake?
To tell you the truth, Kath is unlikely to fall into the trap, but I think the biggest mistake I made was, to your earlier point, Gareth, was I didn't get to up to speed quickly enough with the technical side of the business.
Okay.
I spent a lot of effort getting up to speed with the management and managerial side of the business.
Did you come from an external source? Is that?
I was outside the business. Not outside marketing, so the turf was familiar, but it's a very specific strain of marketing, and it's a very specific business and the way it runs. So I kind of went into field and saw the work we did, but I would definitely have done a 3-4 week deep dive crash course into the actual nuts and bolts of the business, because I was still picking that up by osmosis 6 months later. And I think you're right that managers, MDs, and CEOs eventually get to the point where the ratio is literally so out of kilter that it's maybe 90-10. But if you're not super waxed on that 10%, everyone's constantly, or you constantly at risk of being pulled up for not being the expert in the space you say you're being.
I guess especially in a smaller kind of environment, it's easier for a CEO that has 10,000 people, you can just almost brush it aside, I guess, to a certain extent, or throw it down to into another office. Mm. I did want to ask a question, and I've forgotten. Darn it. Darn it.
Culture and identity of HDI, where do you see it going in your leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like it.
Got your back.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for that very difficult question.
You can handle it.
I think one of the success levels of HDI has always been the culture. If you step into our office, you feel it. People want it. Sorry, you can't get it. It's ours, and we love it, and we'll develop it.
I can feel that by your energy levels.
We want the guys in our office to be successful in their own right, because if you love what you're doing and you love doing what you do with the target audience that you do it with, and you want to come to work every morning, I don't have to ask you how long you're going to stay. You're going to stay there forever, and you'll work long hours. I don't have to tell you that either, because you just love what you're doing. So, and we don't want to lose that. I think the three of us just feel, we realize that you have to have fun at work, but geez, like, it's not a fat party. Like Jason said, and I think this is what I love about his 3 points, I like the success side of it. I want to be the best, and I want the team that works with me to be the best as well, and they've all got it within them. And I want us to reach our targets, because we do set targets. Why did we have a 3-year plan then anyway? And we're not just going to throw that thing out of the window. There's a reason why we set certain policies, certain programming in place, and people need direction. So it's a little bit of everything, and then we dust it off with some magic, because we are in the youth space and we're allowed to do it. We're allowed to sing in our corridors. No, we're not allowed to bring our dogs to work. We don't mind your kids.
I am wondering about how extreme it gets in this office. I'm glad you clarified the dog thing. Thank you.
You can bring your skateboard. Ah. Actually, no, there might be health issues over there. You know, you're at risk of falling, and then I'm going to get into a lot of problems. So, yeah, I think the identity and... You know, everyone asks us, when are you going to give us the mark? What's the next big thing that's going to happen? And I've asked a few people, and this, you know, it doesn't matter how you plan it. Whatever you're dealing with at the situation, whatever the market's chucking at you at that stage is going to help create it and help form it. And we need to be able to be flexible enough to be able to adopt these changes, adopt these new ideas, so that we can, because the youth are always changing. They're not the typical market out there that you think, okay, this is how they're going to work. It doesn't work like that. So there's a lot of new things happening all the time, and we want to adopt those. So adopt them early, apply them, change them. We have our theme this year is fire starters. Everyone has to be a fire starter in our company. I don't have to sit there and try and create a flame and like, come on, just burn. That's not going to happen. These guys do it by themselves.
Okay, but what happens when someone comes in and you said, you've given me permission to be a fire starter. I'm trying to start a fire and you are giving me really damp wood. What's going on here? You're not giving me fuel.
You're dousing my flame.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I mean, how do you deal with that kind of scenario?
Yeah, the thing is, we know our guys so well. I've been quite open to people coming and
approaching. Are you hearing the lessons here? You see, we don't have to get direct lessons. There it is. They know the people so well. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are, our team is comfortable enough to come and say to us, listen, can I try this? Can I do this? And I mean, we're based on an entrepreneurial spirit. So I want our guys to try out the new things. Sometimes I don't even actually know what it is that they want to do. But I know that by allowing them to do it, they're going to do it. And they're still going to do what they need to do on this side. And life is about that balance.
Well, there's the answer, isn't it? I mean, you allow them the freedom to be able to, but don't give them so much leash, I guess, that they are going to be not doing what is necessary for the business to continue on the pillars that you have earlier said.
It comes back to what you said right in the start. You said it's a people want to be communicated to. Just keep them informed. If you know what it is that you're delivering, when you have to deliver it by, who you're delivering it with, you'll plan around that. So, yeah, I think that it's manageable.
I mean, I think just to chip in is that not everyone is a fire starter, and not everyone has a fire starter week.
Or needs to be a fire starter, right?
Sure. Oh, okay. In a business our size, almost everyone needs to be a fire starter.
Okay, I see.
And And it's also it's quite hard to find them. The educational system we have is not built for making fire starters. It's okay. built for making followers, unfortunately. Mm. And it's as Kat says, it's a theme, but it's a philosophy we stole from Apple, who have this mantra that we don't hire anyone who needs to be managed. And not everyone's that person. And to tell you the truth, there's hard parts of business. And some of that is releasing into the ether people who are not fire starters. And as a manager or an MD, that's sometimes hard to do. But I promise you.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, we've had so many people who we've parted ways with. I mean, obviously you do it fairly and amicably and constructively, but have gone on to something that's much better suited to them. And will give me a call 6 months or a year later and go, thank goodness you freed me to go be what I needed to be. Mm. Or people are just not in that space at that time and they bow out for a period because they don't want a fire start. They want to chill or want to have a baby or want to go get married or want to live some other aspect of their life. Mm. And then they come back into our business 2 or 3 years later when they're feeling like they've got the mojo to do the necessary stuff.
I like the stuff that I'm hearing here, all the stuff in the background, the subliminal stuff that I'm hearing. What are you hearing?
That it doesn't have to be a turbulent transition, you know, just with a great communication with the teams and the future powers that be, it can actually be very exciting and actually be very energizing. And I'm excited for you, you know, your potential, you know, this is a growth of you and HDI to places never seen before. So the galaxy truly is yours. And what can you say for yourself and your future and your potential and your team?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that was a signal.
That was just peace.
Where do you want to take HDI, woman?
We don't want to take HDI. I just think HDI is already on this amazing path already.
Yeah, you're lucky.
And we're on this upward incline, and we want to keep it going there. So whatever it takes to keep us going there with the clients that we've got and with the people that we've got, that's what we want to do.
And client relationship, as Jason said, is just imperative.
Yeah, and we have got the most amazing clients. I think we're quite blessed in that way.
Yeah.
And they've actually been very supportive.
I was just about to say,
that's
also very important that your clients are supporting.
It's communication again. You have to be communicating with your clients who it is and see how they respond when you say, it's this person.
It's Catherine.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's not them because their eyes go dark. No.
Catherine's taken over. Yes. So tell us more, Kathy.
Yeah, I think maybe that's because I've been doing it so long. So a lot of the clients I actually know from having to work on those accounts and doing that work with them. So you've always got your finger in the pie. And it's about staying relevant and being in constant communication with them as well. Mm. So I don't know. I feel all of our clients have really been very supportive of the change. And I don't doubt we're going to have to work hard. And I don't doubt that we're going to get those challenges. And we're going to have to take each of those. Imagine if I sat here having to work out all the shit that's going to happen all the time and all the problems and finding solutions for things I don't even know is going to happen. I'll never do my job. I'm never going to get the ship in the direction that I need to get it in. So if I tackle every day as it comes and with the energy that I need to do it, it's going to get us to the next level.
Okay, we've run out of time. I do want to ask one question. Yeah. What's the one thing you're going to change? What's the one thing that Jason used to do that you just didn't?
God, he's gone.
I've had enough. What's that one thing that you're going to change?
Tell us.
tell me.
Is Jason still sitting here? You know, it's actually funny that you say that because there's actually a whole lot more that we're actually keeping. So, yes, he does dance and sing in the passage. We're keeping that.
Love it.
I think the only thing I could say is, I mean, I've loved everything that Jason's actually done. And no, I'm not going to sit here and compliment you the whole time, Jason. But I think the thing is that he's taught me so much. You're so appreciative of someone that can teach you something and that takes the time to show you things. And no, I'm never going to get that creative thing right. So I'm definitely changing that. That thing of, let's move that little logo here and not do it over there. Let me just change at least three things on your page.
Oh, the pedantic stuff.
Ooh, yes, that meticulous detail.
I wish people could see the way she the hand gesture.
You know, it's where you're sitting in the boardroom and it's getting that bloody aircon to be the exact temperature, and you're having a meeting and it's click, 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 click.
Okay, I think we need to stop because Jason's laughing politely now. but we have unfortunately run out of time. It's been a fantastic conversation.
We love it.
Thank you for the insights, Jason. Thank you for leading the organization the way that you have, and all the best for your future endeavors.
Thanks so much.
And then, Catherine, all the best. We're really looking forward to seeing what you guys are able to do.
I have no doubt what you're going to do with that company. We've met before and we're going to meet time and time again. All the best luck in the entire universe.
Thank you.
Rock on, baby. Rock on.
Woohoo. All right. We'll be back then, same time, because we really have run out of time.
Nice show. Yeah, okay.
We'll be back same time, same place next week. Actually, we are going an hour earlier. I'm glad that I remember that. We are moving from 2 o'clock to 1 p.m. That's our new time slot. So we'll see you then, same place, speaking about the same things with the same fantastic co-host. See you then.
Bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.